What does it mean to be a Christian? You know, that's a question that the world does not know the answer to. In fact, if I were to go and ask some strangers, if I were to search the internet, if I were to go to several of the denominations here in Austin, I would get many different answers to that question. What does it mean to be a Christian? But what does the Bible have to say? Interestingly enough, the Bible is only going to use the word Christian three times throughout the New Testament. The first time it's used is in Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, when the Bible will say the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. It's used later on in the book, chapter 26, verse number 28, when Agrippa is having his conversation with Paul, and he will say, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And finally, it's used in the first epistle of Peter when he's discussing suffering and he's going to say, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God in this matter." The Bible doesn't use the word Christian all that much, but there's a lot that we can learn in regards to what it means to be a Christian. This morning, let's consider four truths that describe what a Christian is. In the first place, Christians are those who make a choice. You know, our lives are made up of choices. Every day we have to make choices. We have to wake up, we have to decide what we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, where we're going to go, what our plans for the day are. But the most important choice anyone can ever make in this life is whether or not to serve God. And this is a principle that Jesus taught. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, he's going to say, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus makes it perfectly clear that serving God is a choice. It's a choice that we have to make. It's a purposeful choice. And this is a principle that's taught all throughout Scripture. God gave Noah the instructions to build the ark, but he still had to build it. God told the Israelites that they had to march around the city of Jericho, but they still had to march. Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, but he still had to arise and be baptized. When we think about Christianity, it begins with a choice to follow God. No one has ever accepted the salvation that God offers without first making the choice to do so. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 9. There's a lot of responsibility and things that we have to do when we decide we are going to be Christians. But those responsibilities far outweigh the consequences if we do not do so. The best thing anyone can ever do is choose to accept God's offer of salvation and become a Christian. Number two, what does it mean to be a Christian? Christians are those who have made a change. They have made a change. Once we make the choice to serve God, there are some necessary changes that must take place in our lives. For just a few moments, let's consider some of those changes. Christians are those who first change their identity. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice what Paul is going to say towards the end of the chapter in verses 22 through 24. He says that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. When we decide to put on Christ in baptism, there are changes that must take place in our lives. There is a change in our identity. We were once identified as the old man, but we are now identified as the new man. We were once identified as sinners, Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, but we are now identified as saints, Romans chapter 1, verse number 7. We were once identified as strangers and foreigners, but we are now identified as fellow citizens in the household of God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19. When we become Christians, we change our identity. We are no longer who we once were, but we are now something even greater. Not only do we change our identity, we change our activity. We change the things that we participate in.
If you take a look at who the old man was, notice what kind of things he was involved in, beginning in verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. When we consider who the old man was someone who was involved in a popular lifestyle, as the rest of the Gentiles walk. The old man was someone who was futile in their thinking. The old man was someone who was blind. He did not have fellowship with God. He was involved with the sins of this world. And when we look at this lifestyle, we understand it is something that cannot be present in our lives when we become Christians. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, to put it simply, it means there are things that the world is involved in. There are things that the world condones. And as Christians, we will not participate in those things. We will not do those things because it's not according to the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And so practically, what does that look like in our lives? Well, it looks like a Christian who has said, "I'm no longer going to watch certain TV shows or movies because of the things that it portrays. It's not according to God's good, perfect, and acceptable will." It looks like a Christian who has deleted songs from their playlist because of the language that's in it or the message that it brings out. It looks like a Christian who, in every aspect of their lives, has conformed themselves to God's good, perfect, and acceptable will. There is a change in our activity. There is also a change in our priority. Change in our priority. You know, there's many things in this life that may take our priority. When we're young, our priorities might be sports, might be school. As we get older, the priorities shift to our jobs and the bank accounts. But for a Christian, this should never be the case. There's one thing that the Bible teaches about New Testament Christianity. It is that it is a wholehearted commitment. In Luke chapter 18, we see that the rich young ruler, he was unwilling to make this commitment. In Acts chapter 7, on the opposite side of the spectrum, we see that Stephen was fully committed. He was committed unto death. Question is, what kind of commitment are we giving God? Have we changed our identity? Have we changed the activities we participate in? Have we changed our priorities? I understand that there are priorities to the family. I understand there are priorities to the jobs that we have. But Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." We ought to change within our lives. That's what Christians do. Number three, what does it mean to be a Christian? Christians are those who will face a challenge. It's been said before, with change comes its challenges. And for a Christian, that's absolutely true. Christians are challenged by the devil. The devil seeks to come after Christians for a number of reasons. There were a few that came to my mind. One is, Christians are going to the place the devil will not be. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41. Christians are seeking to teach those the devil is after. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Christians are more equipped than anyone else. We have the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, and we have the entire scripture of God, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The devil presents us with challenges, but we also face challenges from the world around us. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 16, mentioned it a few moments ago, Peter says, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." One of the challenges that Christians face as they go throughout this life is the persecution from others. And while it may not be the same as it was in the first century, while it may not be to that degree, we still face persecution. What happens when you're in the car and you decide, "We're not going to listen to this song," and your friend starts looking at you funny? What happens when you decide, okay, we're not going to watch this movie, we're not going to go to this movie because I'm a Christian? You receive persecution, you lose friends, people stop talking to you. Christians face challenges of this world, and Christians are challenged by the pleasures of this life. The sins of this life present an obstacle for each Christian. There are going to be opportunities for us to sin, and there are going to be opportunities for us to submit to the will of God. We have to make the decision of what we are going to do. Brethren, don't let the pleasures of this life be the reason that you do not enjoy the far greater pleasures of the next. Finally, number four this evening, Christians are those who will be crowned. All the things that I've mentioned about a Christian, what should exist within a Christian's life, those are things that take place here on this earth. Christians make a choice, they make a change, and they face a challenge. But when eternity comes, Christians will be crowned. In Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10, towards the end of the verse, Jesus is going to say, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." In the context, he's talking to the church in Smyrna, and he's telling them to stand firm. You're about to endure persecution, but you need to stand firm. And if you do so, I will give you the crown of life. That's something that is a promise given to all Christians. When we make it through this life, we will be given that crown. At the end of time and at the beginning of eternity, Christians will be crowned because of the purposeful choice they have made, because of the necessary changes they have enacted, and because of the challenges that they have faced. In a world that is so confused as to what it means to be a Christian, I want to be sure I know what the Bible teaches, because there are eternal consequences to that question. May we always be sure to live up to the name we are called to wear, and may we always be sure to teach the gospel to others so that they too can know what it means to be a Christian.